Well, glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wished everyone could realize what a tremendous opportunity God has given unto this generation. If we could only realize, I think it would change and transform your very life.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You have your Bible, and don't ever come to church without the Bible.
Yeah.
Hold your Bible up. Thank God. Now, I want you to read with me as we go through the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word is the very thing that's holding everything up.
Yes.
And everything was made by the Word. So, I believe that you and I need to learn what God is saying.
Yes.
And then not only read what God... See, everybody wants to know what God has done. Ministers are preaching about what God has done. But I want you to know what He is doing.
Amen.
In the now.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's read in your Bible, if you have it. Let's go to the 6th chapter of the book of Exodus. That book of Exodus simply is the way out.
Hallelujah.
That's what it means. You see these signs on the door, exit. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you ever read Exit?
Yes.
Well, it's showing you the way out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so God is showing you the way out.
Amen.
In fact, He tells you He brought you out to bring you in.
Amen.
And I don't want to talk about what He's bringing you into right now. I will lay the foundation to it. And that's about all we'll get done. So in the 6th chapter, and we'll not read the first two verses, but we will read verse 3.
And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob.
Now, he said, when I appeared. Now, the appearance of God is something that you must understand. I don't know what if God has ever visited you or not, but if you've ever had a visitation from God, then you understand how God speaks to you. God speaks to an individual and through the thought pattern. And the thought pattern is God's intent. Well,
hallelujah.
And the majority of ministers today do not understand the intent of God.
That's the truth. Amen.
And God's never changed His purpose.
Amen.
It's always been to establish His intent in the earth. And everybody and all religions want to go to heaven. And God's intent is to bring heaven to you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And to learn you how to live in heaven right here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And if you ever learn that, you're not going to want to go anywhere. You're already there.
Amen.
And if you are there, God's command blessings.
That's right.
Well, then who can argue with God's command? Lay your hand on your own head and say, I've been commanded to be blessed.
I've been commanded to be blessed.
And I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Hallelujah.
Now, would you like to know how great you are blessed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob.
By the name of God Almighty.
Now, by the name of God Almighty, which is El Shaddai, the full-breasted one that holds babies up to the breast and feeds them where they can grow and mature and learn. Hallelujah. Praise God. But then listen to what he said now.
But by my name,
Jehovah,
was I not known?
I was not known.
To them.
To them? Don't you realize what God is saying? I've got greater blessings than Abraham had. I've got greater blessings than Isaac had for you. I've got greater blessings than Jacob had for you.
Amen. For me. Hallelujah.
Do you want it?
Yes, brother.
Come on, do you really want it? Then we must learn about Jehovah. He's greater than El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Now, glory. If you, I'm a little bit reluctant to go to the 91st Psalm, but I want especially to read, or you to read with me, verse 14.
Because he has set his love upon me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Therefore,
he has set. Well, he has set his love upon you. And what kind of love? Not filial love. That's a prostitute love. Well, Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which was the foundation of Israel, the Bible tells you all the way through, Israel went whoring after other gods. Do you realize the church world today is going whoring after other gods? And what are you, would never admit it or not, the church as we know it is a total failure. Well, and on the day of Pentecost, God did not establish the church. The church was over in the Old Testament in the 7th chapter of Acts. Stephen was talking about the church in the wilderness. And he gives you an illustration. The God of glory appeared to our fathers. Well, hallelujah. So he's telling you that the church was in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness failed. And the church of the now is failing. There's got to be a reason. And the reason is simply, I've set my love upon you, oh glory to God, that you might learn something.
Amen.
All right, now read the rest of that verse.
Therefore will I deliver him.
Now, I've set my love upon you that I might deliver you, bring you out, exit you out. Oh, hallelujah. Exit you out of darkness. Exit you out of all of your infirmities, out of your indebtedness, out of everything that is contrary to my love. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And the reason, now the next phase of that verse tells you why he's going to do this.
I will set him on high because he hath known my name.
If you want to be set on high, you've got to know his name.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Glory. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now it took God 4,000 years to bring this Jehovah into a fleshly body, amen, in the New Testament.
Hallelujah.
You know him as Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the Old Testament, he was Jehovah.
Yes,
ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. And you must know his name.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, let me show you what God's intent is. God's intent is not just to save you to go to heaven.
Amen.
God's intent is that you would know his name in a relationship that is totality. Glory to God. In fact, he tells you in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, I believe it is, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And conjunction. You cannot seek God without having a connection.
Amen.
And the connection is a conjunction. Oh, hallelujah. Seek the kingdom of God first. And his righteousness. And then what happened? All
these things
shall be added. Shall be added unto you. Are you ready for an addition?
Yes.
Well, glory, 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 glory. Now, let me show you what I'm speaking about right now. In the first two verses of this psalm is not named. It's an unnamed psalm. The writer is not mentioned. And all your students of the Bible and all of your references, if you understand, and you can go and ask any professor of any university you want to go to, and they'll tell you, if they know anything about the Word, that the individual that wrote the preceding psalm also wrote the one that the name is not mentioned. And in that case, who wrote the 90th Psalm? Moses. Moses. And so, you see, I get so fed up with individuals wanting to sing the Psalms. You have got to understand 1st and 2nd Kings is where the most Psalms was written. And you've got to know what circumstance they were written under and understand the experience from which they came from. And when you know that, you can sing with gusto, hallelujah, the majesty. You are the majesty. You are the eternal. You are the Lord of glory. You are the hope of the universe.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Then you can sing the 18th Psalm. This is my song Glory to God. He has delivered me. Then if you want the background of that, you go to the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel and you find the same identical thing. Glory to God. He is my song. He is my deliverer. He is the one that I'm adoring in this hour. Now, let me show you what God's intent was. He changed the order in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. And he chose a man. And that man's name was Abram. Oh, glory. And then God had to add something to it. And he added a ha. Glory to God. And the generation today don't know how to laugh. Don't know how to be glad. Don't know how to be happy. Oh, hallelujah. And then he was married to Sarai. And God had to operate on Sarai, take the I off of her name, and she became Sarah. Woo, hallelujah. And Sarah was barren. And in God, oh, hallelujah, the angel of the Lord, three of them, two of them went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah, yes, and one stayed and talked with Abraham, or Abram. And he said to Abram, he said, Sarah, thy wife, shall conceive and bring forth a son. Yes. Sarah began to laugh in the tent. Am I an old woman? Shall I find joy with my husband in this old age?
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah.
And Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, before the incarnation, said, Sarah, why did you laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. Oh, I didn't laugh. Yeah, but she did laugh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Isaac was born. He lived 28 years with his wife and no children. And he sought the Lord. And this is so tremendous. I mean, you may not see in it what I'm seeing. But within Rebecca's womb was two natures, nations. And you know what God said? I love one and hated the other before they were ever born. Don't you know God's got your life planned before you was ever into this world? Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in the belly. Not only that, I ordained you to be a prophet. Not only that, I sanctified you. You don't understand. You've had, some of you have been in automobile wrecks and you're supposed to have been killed. The devil couldn't do it because you're sanctified. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. In the wild days of my life, you hear what I said?
Yes.
I was a little bit on the rough side. And in the honky-tonks, I've had folks to pull pistols on me And I'd laugh at her. I said, well, you can't shoot me, man. Why would I do that? I had a praying mother. Oh, glory. And they'd pull the trigger and it would snap. I was sanctified from my mother's womb. Just like the Apostle Paul, he said, God separated me from my mother's womb that I might be a bearer of his name. He didn't know that until God knocked him down. Hallelujah. And then when God knocked him down and he was really converted, then he said, oh man, this is what was happening all the time. Oh glory. I'm here to tell you, when you approach and accept the Lord, hallelujah, you have been handpicked. And then when you come on the inside and look back, then you can say, it says, whosoever will. But not until you learn you've handpicked. Oh. Now don't get it in your head just because God's handpicked you that you're going all the way that you're going to make it. You could go to hell after you were handpicked. Oh, you said, I don't believe that. Who would take Judas Iscariot's place? Who would fulfill his bishopric? Who fell from grace? Don't get so quiet on me. You can backslide. You can miss God. But my advice to you is to get on higher ground. And to fulfill. Fulfill the destiny. Glory, hallelujah. Do you understand how you do that? Lord Jesus gives you pictures all the way through the New Testament. Let me give you one. Father, I can't hardly talk about this one and sit still. They come to arrest Jesus. Judas said, the one that I kiss is him. Betray him with a kiss. And when they arrested Jesus, Peter was a fisherman. He drew a sword. And a fisherman swinging a sword? But you have to be skilled like a surgeon to do what he did. Cut off the ear of Marcus. Jesus is telling you something now. You may have never got it, but it's in there. He reached down and shakes the dust off of it. Sticks it back on. He is the only centurion. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That followed Jesus the rest of his life.
Hallelujah.
Why did he do that? He was hearing what the Spirit was saying to the church. All of your reproductions in the Spirit comes by your hearing. Hearing, oh glory to God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Neighbor, you've got to hear the Word. And if you hear the Word, you're on your way out. You're on your way. Oh, hallelujah. You're on your way to higher ground. higher than Israel ever was, and God fed Israel in the wilderness. Of course, they had to get up before sunup. That'd leave most holiness folks out. Lazy bunch of people. Want to lay in the bed to 10, 11 o'clock. Watch television all night and want to. I've had evangelists to come to my house. Want to sit up and watch television half of the night and in the morning. And then I knock on the door and tell them breakfast is ready. Well, I don't want to eat. I want to sleep. I say, you ain't sleeping. Get out of that bed. You didn't come here for a vacation. I locked one preacher up in my office in Sarasota, Florida. Come down to Sarasota, Florida, and all he wanted to do was eat breakfast and go play golf. And I'm working on the church to remodel it or to enlarge the auditorium. Then he'd come in from playing golf all day and say, Brother McCurry, give me a scripture I can preach tonight. Give me a text. I said, I ain't got none for you. I said, tomorrow morning I want you to go with me. I've got something I want you to do. Next morning they got him up. When I got up, we ate breakfast and we went to the church. And I said, Brother, he's gone to glory now. I said, I'm going to lock you up in this office. The books that I've got here, all in, you can read any of them you want to. You can pray that you're going to stay in here. Tonight, you're going to minister an anointed word.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that night, he preached as if he was a man from another world. 25 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Neighbor,
yes, hallelujah.
Don't be a lazy, good-for-nothing Christian.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is that too hard on you? Huh? Pastor, is that too rugged? When will we ever learn the name of God? Oh, the first one, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And he got that when he went to the mountain to worship. Well, praise God. You can't even worship unless you know the first name of Jehovah. But God's got something better than for you to follow the pattern of Israel. God is doing some addition. Peter tells you, add to your faith virtue. And the virtue, add to your faith. Get faith first. Then add to that faith virtue. And to that virtue, add enough of sense and knowledge to know how to keep it.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Come on, saints.
Amen.
I'm showing you something tonight. God wants you to learn something better than just the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the foundation. It's the enclosure of the new, and the new is the revealing of the old.
Amen. Amen.
And so many churches today, they don't even want you to read the Old Testament. But neighbor, you've got to know the Old Testament before you can get it revealed in the New Testament.
Amen.
And you'll never know Jehovah until, if you ever learn his name, you know his name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 In another place he said, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which simply means God with you. And God is not just with you, God is in you. Glory be to God. And God, whoo, hallelujah. Have you ever read 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5? Glory be to God. The Bible said God is light. Not God's going to be light. Not God's making light. Hallelujah. He did that in the third verse of Genesis 1. He said, let there be light. Glory to God. And the sun and the moon and the stars wasn't made until the fourth day. Glory to God. And yet God's already created pure energy, and you are to walk in that energy because God is light. And when you're walking in that energy, you cannot sin. Now, whosoever is born again doeth not sin. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. You are not completely born of God. Come on. But thank God you have been conceived.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Now, I might have lost some of you there. Because everybody talk about the new birth. But, honey, whenever we are really fully born again, it's going to stop you from sin. You are not going to miss the mark. Glory to God. You're going to be, as John said, walking in the light. And if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And because He is the light. We walk in that light. Glory. We shall be as He is. Oh, glory. And the Son of God shall cleanse you from all sin. Well, hallelujah. Now, I would believe with all my heart that God is desiring a people that would come into a full manifestation of the birth of Christ. Yes. Being born completely. Well, where do you think we are? I believe that it's time for the birth. A woman has come to the time of the birth. And she's brought forth wind, according to Isaiah. Now that, and the Apostle Paul takes it up and he said, you are following every wind of doctrine. Now look at your church world today. My God, every wind of doctrine that you can imagine is in the church realm. Hello? But that's not what God is after. God is beyond that. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the formation of Israel. Hallelujah. But He didn't appear unto them by the name of Jehovah. You and I have that wonderful manifestation today. Glory to God to know the one that has tasted of death and now is resurrected. And He has given you the opportunity to become part of that out-resurrection that you could come and be a manifestation of God. In Romans 1 and 4, it said He was declared to be the Son of God. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of holiness. And by the resurrection of the dead. So, you're going to have to come into that out-resurrection. Oh, God, help us. No ifs and ands about it. And you now, somebody said, well, how can I come? You have to go beyond the Apostle Paul. Now you're getting quiet. Well, how in the world can I go beyond Apostle Paul? And when that man wrote over half of the New Testament, can I get in touch with God in a greater way than he did? Yes. Philippians, and I love that. It's the only book that this out-resurrection is mentioned in. It's the only book. The church at Rome, it wasn't mentioned. Church of Corinth, it wasn't mentioned. The church of Galatians, it wasn't mentioned. In Ephesians, Colossians, wasn't mentioned. But it's the only one that mentions this. Now you got your thinking cap on? I want to show you something. Now, the King James Version is good. But it certainly is not a perfect translation. And all of these modern translations are not a perfect translation. Well, praise the Lord. But when you begin to put them together, you can see a clear picture. For example, in the King James Version, Matthew 24 and verse 8 simply says, all of this is the beginning of sorrow. And the Amplified clarifies it. That's what it Amplified means. And it says, all this is the early pains of the birth pains. So he's talking about a birth. He's talking about a formation. Did you know the body of Christ, the church is the body of Christ? And did you know it's not fully formed yet? But he is forming it. And when that child is fully formed inside of a virgin church, it's going to be brought forth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, glory to God. Mary had to be a virgin to bring forth Jehovah. And so God is establishing and building a perfect virgin church in this hour to bring forth sons of God. Because Jesus said he was the firstborn among many brethren. That's in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Oh, hallelujah. Neighbor, God is right now about to manifest himself. But the first thing he has to do is to bring a church out of idolatry and out of all of the traditions. John, in Mark chapter 7, he tells you in verse 13 that you have made the word of God of none effect by your tradition. Now, tradition is what's killing the word of God. You've got to get rid of it. And the church is built based upon traditional hand-me-down generations of doctrine. Well, hallelujah. Well, Grandma done this. Just like a young man married a lady, and they were going to cook a roast, and he said to his wife, Now, honey, we've got to cut the corners of this roost off. But why do we have to do that? Well, that's the way Grandma always fixed it. Well, let's call her and find out why. They called up Grandma, and she said, well, honey, the pot was too little. That's the reason I cut the corner of the roast off. I want you to know you need to get a bigger pot. Raise your right hand and praise the Lord. How many of you want to get a bigger pot? How many of you want to have an enlargement enough to hold on to what God's doing in this hour? Woo! Hallelujah. I tell you right now, God is doing a work in this hour that's never been done before. Hallelujah. God's raising up a generation. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You read in the 22nd Psalm, just prior to the 23rd Psalm, and he said, a seed shall be a generation. Oh, glory to God. Then you read in the book of Matthew, and you'll find 42 generations. And when you count them, you can't count but 41. And so you and I are included, and we are the 42nd generation. Hallelujah. And we are that seed that's being a generation today. And that seed, oh glory to God, you are not born of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God. Hallelujah. You and I are that generation that's going to bring forth the glorious manifestation of the sons of God in this era, in this end time. Glory, hallelujah. And we are not going to do it by being puffed up with knowledge, glory. And not being puffed up with titles. We're going to do it through the anointing of Jehovah, glory to God, and all the fullness of the name of Jehovah. And by knowing His name, hallelujah, you can manifest Him right now in the earth.
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Amen.
Now, let's go back to Philippians 3:11. And He's talking there, and I want it read in the Amplified Version.
That if possible...
If possible, oh, glory to God.
I may obtain...
If possible... Now, let me show you something. The Apostle Paul's writing this. He's got a revelation of it. And he's telling the world, if at all, but, well, if, King James said it, by any means. In other words, I don't care what it takes. By any means. Then the Amplified said, and if possible. It is possible.
If possible, I may obtain to the spiritual and moral resurrection.
Now, just a minute. Spiritual and moral. Don't you understand today the two main hindrances of the church world is sexual and money. And God talks about that all the way through. If you want me to give you just one illustration, when God wanted to bring Israel out from under Pharaoh, Moses went to Pharaoh and Aaron and let my people go, that they go into the wilderness and worship. You know what Pharaoh said? Well, go ahead. Leave your cattle. Leave your money. Go on. And the people today, they go to church and they leave their money at home, leave their checkbook at home, doing just exactly what Pharaoh wanted Israel to do. And so when the minister says, we want to worship the Lord, give him what he's worth, I can't. I left my money home. I can't because I left my checkbook at home. What kind of a saint are you? I think it's one of the most vulgar words that ever was when you used that word kink. Hallelujah. I'm striving. I'm just believing God. I give $100 in every offering. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. And now God's laying on my heart, I want you to give $1,000 in every offering.
Amen.
I'm just anxiously waiting until that day comes that I throw $1,000 in every offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I'm looking for the time that I can come to these conventions. The preacher gets up or the minister gets up and say, now we're going to have $10,000 for this meeting. I'm going to be able to stand up. I'll give it. Go ahead with the meeting. Take up the offerings and give it to missions. I'll pay for the conference. Ah, glory to God. That's my desire. That's my desire. I tell you, you're not living unless you can bless somebody.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah.
I'm a little bit reluctant to say what I'm going to say it anyway. Don't matter. You read in this book, all the way through this Old Testament, nobody ever come to the prophet. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians, or in that... what book am I talking about now? Oh, in its 6th chapter and 6th verse, where the Apostle Paul is talking about giving, he says, communicate with him that teaches. Communicate is give. If I ain't teaching you nothing, don't you give me nothing. But if I'm teaching you and you're learning from me, then God said you share all your good things with me.
Amen.
Now that's the word. Well, do you see how quiet it gets when you mention anything about money? We've got to learn, saints.
Amen.
We've got to come to the knowledge that if you want to have something, you've got to give what you've got to get what you don't have.
Amen.
Galatians 6 and 6.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
He didn't say bring a lame animal, bring a counterfeit dollar. If it ain't good enough for you, don't bring it. But if it's good enough for you, bring it. Oh, my Father, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you just after the money. I don't need your money.
Amen.
But you need to give to me. Well, what good would it do me? It'll get you what you don't have. Well, glory be to God. You don't want, let me give you one illustration of what I'm talking about. Elisha, and the prophets in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New Testament, they never traveled alone. Paul says in he traveled with a company. There was other apostles traveled with him. There was prophets that traveled with him. The evangelists traveled with him. The fact they were a party, I don't understand how churches would operate today. I've had as high 22 come to my house in evangelistic party. And my wife is dead, and I have a cook breakfast for her. 22 people. And we had a glorious revival. But I told the evangelist, it was a lady evangelist, I said, we had a great revival after I got over the shock. My God, I had to put them in, scatter them out in rooms and the fellowship hall was filled. And they were camping everywhere. My house was filled. And I was having to scramble 3 or 4 dozen eggs every morning. A couple of pounds of bacon every morning. 2 loaves of bread with toast every morning. And a big pot of grits. Of course, you might not know what grits is. It's not dirt out there. Don't you understand? How many of you understand that all of these men traveled in a group? And the prophet Elisha traveled with Gehazi, his servant, his secretary, or whatever he was. They passing down the road, and they passed this great woman's house. The Bible called her a great woman. That word great was wealthy. And she constrained him to come in and eat. And every time he'd pass by, they'd bring him in. One day she said to her husband, let's build him a room on this house. Let's fix him up a room. Put a bed in it and a table in it and a candle on the table and have everything fixed. And when they done that, that prophet laid in the bed, said to his servant, what does that woman want me to do for her? Does she want me to talk to the king? They called her in there and the servant asked, said, what do you want? Do you want us to speak to the king? No. I don't need nothing. Elisha's servant said, but she don't have no children. Well, call her in here. They called that woman in. The prophet said, by this time next year, according to the time of women, you are going to have a son. I can hear that lady right now. Oh, man of God, don't lie to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not lying to you tonight. I'm telling you just exactly what that prophet said. And by the time next year, a son was born to that woman. Do you understand what's happening? She gave to the man of God, and she got what she didn't have. Now, there's more to it, but I ain't going to get into that. Whew. You ever learn the secret, turn loose what you've got, and get what you don't have. We've already taken up the offering. But I want to tell you something. We are going to see that the need of this conference is met. And I don't care how much it is. Hallelujah. I've never left a conference without the need being met. I've never done it. I have been to churches that the pastor would listen to the laity. They didn't like the way I would take up the offering. And he'd come to me and said, "Now, we've had some complaints and we don't want you to do this." And I said, "All right, I'll just give the $1,000 that I promised tonight and I won't take no more offerings up." And I would leave that meeting without the need being met. But it wasn't my fault. Neighbor, you have got to lose your sight for what you can get. Praise God forevermore. But God is wanting to advance you beyond everything that you can see and beyond every method that you can ever think of. God, hallelujah, is desiring to move in your life that you can have greater blessing than Israel of the Old Testament. And God fed Israel, hallelujah, with heavenly manna. And then the Bible said, "He was the bread that come down from heaven." I'm here to tell you tonight that we have the opportunity of coming into a better way than even Israel was led in the wilderness. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Well, glory. And they got so tired of manna, they called it light bread. I don't know. My God. You've got to get tired of just one kind of a blessing with God and learn His name and get all that Jehovah has for you. Hallelujah. And then on top of that, get all the L names of God. Hallelujah. And then just keep on. And did you know we don't know all the names of God yet? It's not even in the Bible, all the names of God. And in the eons of time, and times to come, we'll be learning about God. Well, but to show you that we are up to date, time just moves somewhere now, that, you know. But in that 91st Psalm, oh, Tatame Digo Satai, I've got to show you this. In the first two verses of that psalm, there's four names of God mentioned. Four names of God. The first one is the Most High. Now, the Most High is Elohim. I might be mistaken. Maybe Elohim. Elohim. Yeah. That's the right. Yeah. Now, the next one is the Almighty. That's El Shaddai. The next one is Lord. Now that's Jehovah. And the last one is God.
Chapter of Malachi. He tells you the S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, will arise with healing in his wings. Then he goes on down and talks about the last two verses of Malachi 4, that I'm going to raise up Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's not before he was born. That's not great and terrible day. Well, then I'm going to turn the father's heart back to the children. He's going to raise up Elijah. What do you realize it or not? The Bible says that John the Baptist came with the spirit of Elijah. And I'm not preaching reincarnation. But I'm showing you, you don't know who had the spirit and the anointing that you have before you have it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That God in this hour is raising up seers. And they're as he tells you, I'm going to restore as it was in the beginning. He tells you that. Isaiah prophesied, oh glory to God, about Cyrus coming 600 years before he was born. He didn't live to see that prophecy, but it happened. And people today don't even know what prophecy is. God said he blessed Samuel. Samuel was established as a prophet from Dan to Beersheba all the way through. Now, he said, and God did not let a word he spoke fall to the ground. The Holy Spirit caught every word he said and held it up until it was fulfilled. Now that's not prophecy. That's anointed word. Prophecy is when God's Holy Ghost rolls up within you and you begin to speak things to an individual. Glory to God, that you don't know, but they know. And it's a confirmation to them. Hallelujah. And you'll see what God, oh, they'll see immediately what God is doing. And there will be a miraculous miracles taking place. And neighbor, we are right on the verge of that hour right now coming to pass. You and I, oh, glory to God, I'm going to see it. God has spoke to me. God told me. Hallelujah. He said, everything that you have saw, everything you've experienced, it's just been me pulling the curtain back and allowing you to see what's about to come. I talked with some brethren that was apostles and prophets before me or in my day. I said, Brother Dr. Marnie from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Brother David Schock from Los Angeles, California. I was then. Now I think he's from Dallas, Texas. But Brother Marnie, we were in a motel room preaching a convention together. I said, I want you to weigh this out and see if it's in line with what God's doing. And I told him what God had said. He fell on his knees and crawled over there to the chair where I was sitting, tears running down his cheek. Brother McCurry, if I've ever heard a word from God, that's the word that God is saying. You that's younger than I are going to see greater things than we've ever saw. But I'm going to stick around to see that you hold to the Word of God in the middle of the road, and the devil don't care which side you go off of as long as you miss the road. And I intend to stay in the road and see that you, hallelujah, stay in the middle of the road that God has you ordained to walk down. Oh, hallelujah. And neighbor, God has promised you better things. Better things than Israel ever saw. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, I don't see how you're sitting on the seat. This is so powerful. This is a revelation of what God right now is about to do. God spoke to me before the first of the year and said 2006 is going to be the year that the water breaks. Neighbor, that simply meant God's going to throw the church out of joint and bring forth a birth of the man-child. Glory to God! And the sons of God are going to be manifest, and you are going to see a generation, hallelujah, that's marching, amen, for the glory of God. Amen. Even in Israel, Joshua stood, let the sun stand still. The longest day in the history of the world was brought about by a man that wholly followed the Lord and had another spirit in him. Glory to God. You might say, well, I don't believe that God picks one above the other. Well, why did he bypass Caleb and pick Joshua to be the leader? I'll tell you why. Joshua means Jehovah. Joshua means Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus was made flesh, born to the virgin. And the Word become flesh and dwelled among us. Matthew said, we have saw it and we have handled it. And we declare unto you, glory to God, somebody has got to declare the Word of God. Hallelujah! And a virgin shall bring forth the man-child. And the man-child is a manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, glory to God. Now, if you'll go with me to the 12th chapter of Revelation, I'll show you something. There was a wonder in heaven. A woman! How many of you understand? Paul said Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. Eve was the mother of all living. Did you know the church? Paul gave an allegory of it and said, Jerusalem, which is from above, is the mother of us all. I don't want to break down that word, Jerusalem. You can't spell it without putting USA in the middle. And you know England was the first Bible society that furnished the Word of God to the whole world. Then American Bible Society. And between the two of them, oh, hallelujah. And the two of them represents Manasseh and Ephraim. You know that. I can't go into the history of it. But it's so interesting if you... Some people don't even want to know history. But you must learn history. Because history is revealing what God has already done and what He is about to do even greater. Well, hallelujah. And when I was going to school, I hated geography. I loved history. I hated spelling. I never could spell. I made 24 F's one year. Had the teacher pass me anyway, she wanted to get rid of me. Ooh, hallelujah. Well, glory. Because it wasn't a day went by that I didn't get a paddling. I'm talking about it in school every day. I was Dennis the Menace. And some people think I still am. But I have learned to laugh at myself. And if you ever learn to laugh at yourself, nothing else will bother you. All right, Revelation 12. I'm going to skip over that. I want to go down to verse 7. You mean a war in heaven? Yeah, it's still going on. Go ahead.
And prevailed not.
Right.
Neither was their place found any more in heaven.
Right.
Right.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world.
What? Just a minute. You mean the devil deceiveth just the United States? The whole world has been deceived. Now, let me ask you something. Just prior to the birth of this man-child, the whole world has been deceived. Do you believe that? How many of you believe that? Now, what kind of a condition are we in right now? The whole world is being deceived.
Yes.
But when that man-child was born,
yes,
he was called up. Now, when you say called up, I'm not talking about, oh glory, he tells you called up to what? The throne. Jesus said when he was up on this earth, hallelujah, I've overcome the world and sat down with my Father on his throne, in his throne. You can overcome.
Yeah.
He said in John chapter 3 and verse 13, I believe it is, no man's ascended up into heaven but the Son of Man.
Right.
Who is in heaven. Well, where was he when he was talking? Right here on the earth. And he was in heaven also. Did you know you're in heaven?
Amen.
While you were right here on this earth?
Yes, amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But you see, you're going to have to learn, now, praise God, to bring the heaven right down into this world and show the world there's a better way than being in deception.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The dragon opened his mouth, and a flood come out of his mouth to drown the woman. Even though the woman was in deception, according to the seventh verse. But the Bible said the earth opened its mouth and the woman was saved. And then
two great wings of an eagle. Carried her to her place. Somebody asked me, what are these wings of an eagle? I say apostles and prophets. Glory to God. That's what the church is supposed to be built upon. And the pivot stone is the Christ. That's the starting place. He is the foundation. And they don't call it foundation now. They call it a pivot stone. Put the pivot down, and everything has to register up according to that pivot point. You have to register up according to the pivot point of this Word. And this Word is holding everything up. And He is the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. You have saw it. You have handled it. But do you believe it? Hallelujah. Do you believe it? We are in the hour that individuals have begun to doubt whether the Word of God is so or not. Over 60% don't even believe in virgin birth. My Father, I'm here to tell you that's the reason the church world is being deceived in this hour. People are not hewing the mark. They're not walking according to the old landmark. They're moving it. They've moved the landmark. They have absolutely moved the doctrines of Christ and made them doctrines of men through their tradition that's hand me down. And they believe that's the Word.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. My old mother was a Pentecostal holiness preacher. When I got this revelation, she told me, son, I never would have thought that I would have lived to see my son turn against what I preach. I said, well, Mama, you are preaching it wrong. Well, son, I can't let you preach in the church no more. I said, that's all right. I'll leave Monday morning. I left. I put my clothes in a pillowcase, threw them on my back, and I left home. And I went out into the world preaching. Hallelujah. This was 60 years, a little better than 60 years now, but praise God. I preach on the street. Sometimes they'd give me a little money. Sometimes they wouldn't, but it didn't matter. There wasn't no McDonald's then, and there wasn't no Motel 6, and if there was, I couldn't have bought a hamburger. And drinks was just 3 cents each back in them days. I couldn't even buy a drink, 3 cents. Oh, don't come to me and tell me that I'm not supposed to enjoy. I've roughed it enough.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I intend to enjoy life.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if I'm enjoying it, hang around me, you'll enjoy it. Because I won't enjoy nothing without sharing it with you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Better days are come.
Yay.
Better times is here.
Yay.
Oh, hallelujah. And the best is yet to come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. My Father. I'm looking at you tonight and I'm seeing things. I'm seeing something happening in you. Glory, you talk about, oh, hallelujah, finance flowing, operating expenses. Sometimes we get in a bind. Oh, maybe not if you have ever done it. You might come short of cash flow. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I got to stand up.
Amen.
I want to tell you, and this goes for you that will accept it. From this day, Monday, what date is it? 13th of February, the second month. Oh, hallelujah. God is going to open up heaven. You're going to have an increase in cash flow. The Holy Ghost decrees it. God, you're going to be able. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to be able to write bigger checks than you've ever wrote. You're going to, Brother Andrew and Sister, they're going to quit renting. They're going to purchase. And not only that, God is going to pay it off. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was sitting on the side of the bed this morning at 5 o'clock talking to Brother Fred. I'm here to tell you something. God is going to bring you out of all of this tightness. Praise God. You've got to learn to give yourself out of your indebtedness. You're going to have to learn to turn loose what you've got, that you can receive what you don't have.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, saints,
yes.
I'm practicing this.
Yes.
Like there's Sister Peggy's the treasurer, Bob and Peggy. Oh, hallelujah. They'll tell you that I give 60% of what they give me. Listen, I've got three elders here.
Amen.
I submit to them. I'm not talking about being the head of anything. Nobody's an island. Everybody's under somebody. Oh, hallelujah. No man is an island. No woman is an island. Everybody's under somebody. You may not want to submit. That's your problem. Hallelujah. But you must absolutely learn that everybody can add to your status. I learned from Andrew, I learned Brother Cody, I learned from Bob and Fred and Sammy. I learned from Peggy and Francis and Brenda. Now we go on with them. We have a lot of fun with Francis. Come on. But if you don't know how to laugh at you with yourself and at yourself, you're in bad shape. I can even laugh when I make a blunder. And brother, I make a lot of them. Come on. Is there anybody perfect in this house? Come on. Is there anybody perfect in this house? We're striving. I'm striving.
Amen.
Praise Praise the Lord. I look at these young folks in the back of the church. I'm seeing prophets, apostles. I'm seeing missionaries. For, you know, the world today don't... missionaries is not what I would term missionaries. There's no more real missionaries. And I don't think God is interested in sending folks, making missionaries out of them. Go and teach them and get back home. The natives can eat the food and sleep in the huts and on the bamboos better than you and I can. But we can do it 3 or 4 weeks. Hallelujah. Chika Bahayama Kosai. Would you let me? I know I'm long-winded. That's one of my faults, I guess, or mistakes. Let me share something. I never had saw this. It was absolutely a revelation. I would love to share it with you. Because a brother told me not long ago, and it stayed on my mind. He called me up and said, the Lord is leading me, or the Spirit is leading me another way. And I said, well, which way is that? There's just one Spirit. Well, I can't argue with you. You know, 60 years of Bible study, I can't argue with you. I said, nobody wanted to argue. I'm just asking you for a reason. Why are you wanting to go another way? Well, it's money. I said, brother, have I ever asked you for a dime? No. Well, what do you want to fall out with me for? Well, I asked the elders. I said, study. And study on the Spirit. See if you can find out something about the Spirit. Oh, you said, well, Jesus explained it. Did he? He said the Nicodemus is like the wind. Weathermen don't know nothing about the wind. My God, and how many kinds of wind are there? There's a soft breeze. There's a stormy wind. There's a whirlwind. There's a hurricane wind. Tornado wind. Come on now, saints. Still small voice. But the other night, I was sitting on the side of the bed, and he appeared to me. He said, I want to show you something. And I said, I'm open. He said, do you remember? And I want you to know something. God said, when the Spirit comes, he'll bring to your memories. Do you remember the 8th chapter of the book of Mark? Now, you've got to remember this, and you don't forget, mark it in your Bible, that Jesus come into the city, and they were a blind man. Blind. Do you know what blindness is? A blind person can maneuver in a familiar place. A blind man knows how many steps from the front door to the couch. from the couch to his chair. He knows how many steps to the refrigerator. He knows how many steps to the stove. I believe this is about verse, what, 22? 23. Well, Jesus takes this blind man, and I had never saw this. Oh, I just praise God for revelations. Jesus took this man by the hand. Now, by the hand. And led him out of the city. Can you see it? He led. Now, this man being led by the Spirit. He's still blind. Jesus takes him by the hand and leads him out of the familiarity. And a blind man out of the familiarity, my God, I want to tell you something. You don't know which way to go. I don't know. You might not want me to read the rest of that. But he takes him out of the city. You see, you don't want to get out of your familiarity. You don't want to get out of your comfort zone. But one of these days, he's going to take you by the hand and lead you out of your comfort zone. Well, praise God. Now, when he takes him out of the city, he spits in his eyes. Oh God, how gross. Well, that's what he said. And he laid his hand on him. Prayed. And look at what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, look up. Evidently, he was looking in the wrong direction. But Jesus directed him to do what? Look up. And when he did, he said, I see men as trees. Now, you might not see, you might not realize what he was really. Men in that day did not carry wood. Well, come on, how many of you understand what I'm telling you? Jesus said, look up. He looked up and he said, I see men as trees. What was he seeing? He was seeing a change from the traditional way of doing things, which women always carried the wood. My God, this goes all the way through. Jesus told the disciples when he was preparing for the Passover, the last Passover, go into the city, follow a man with a pitcher of water. Men didn't carry water. Women carried the water. But here, you go in there and you follow the man that's broke tradition. He cut through to your side. Let me finish this now.
Yes, hallelujah.
Then Jesus laid hands on him again and prayed again.
Yes, he did.
Then he said, look up. He said, I see everything clearly.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you are being led by the Spirit, Be sure that you know whose hand you got a hold of. I don't want to get in on that, but the hand is your fivefold ministry. Oh, glory to God. And if you want to really, hallelujah. You really need to understand you are not an apostle by getting a card signed by somebody. You are not a prophet because somebody gave you a card. Come on. Unless, well, the old way that we were raised in, a presbytery was formed. And they prophesied, and I'm telling you, I've never yet saw the total fulfillment of what the prophets and apostles told me when they called me out in St. Louis, Missouri. And I never will forget Dad Kitchens, Omar Johnson, Ivan Q. Spencer, these guys that would have proven ministry, and they're not novice. Well, hallelujah. But now we all we have is a bunch of novices wanting to be bigger than they are, trying to, well, they don't have any use for father ministry. I went into the office of people I preach with, but they are big shots in television popularity, and they don't even know me, and I ministered conventions with them. And I'd walk out, and my wife would say, "I thought they knew." I said, "Well, they used to. But they've got so big, so mighty." And they're puffed up in their own knowledge. But hallelujah. Brother Cody mentioned Ern Baxter. Precious brother, good friend. Hallelujah. A man that really loved God, was the front man for William Branham for years. Neighbor, listen. When you are being led, be sure you know whose hand's got a hold of you. And be sure they have a proven ministry. Well, I could go on and on, you know. But I'm going to unplug. But I have a whole lot more I want to share with you. I want to thank you for your patience. Thank you for your endurance. And let me thank you in advance for meeting the budget. Well, it's going to be done. It shall be done. And I don't care what it is. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, "Well, what if it's 20,000? Well, there's 20 of us and give 1,000 apiece. I'll be the first one. Come on, saints. Some folks never have give $1,000. Huh? Yeah. Well, £1,000 would be 2,000. Yeah. Oh, glory. All right, saints. I put the challenge to you. And that's in the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, if you want to read it. Hallelujah. You're going to receive by the same measure that you give. Don't come around here and say, I'm going to give a dollar. God's going to give me 100. No, it don't work that way. You want God to give you 1,000, then you give 1,000. Well, he promised me 100-fold. No, he didn't. He did not. You have to first leave everything. And then you'll get in this world. And then he adds something to it. Plus tribulation. Will you stand to your feet and rest yourself? I'm going to believe God for every last one of you. Amen. To come into the fullness of the glory and the majesty of our God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
I just want to thank Andrew and Grace. Hallelujah. And our precious brother that's so graciously driving his ramp. I asked him tonight, I said, we got to fill that bus up. I just cannot ride in somebody's vehicle without helping in the expense now. That's all the earth.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. I must be part of what's going on.
Amen.
How many of you want to be part of what's going on?
Hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hezekiah. And the strategy of this war, he was a brilliant man planning the war. And he said, these other countries had gods and they didn't do it. Don't you let Hezekiah fool you with his story about God.
Yes.
And they sent a letter to Hezekiah
about
what he was going to do.
Yes.
And the Bible said Hezekiah got the letter, received the letter, and went to the house of God and spread it out before the Lord. And he said, Lord, this is your letter.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You get a bank notice that you've overdrawn, or
Amen. You
get a bill that's overdue,
Yeah. Take
it to the house of God and spread it out. Now, God, this is yours.
Yes, hallelujah, brother. That's right. It
works. It'll absolutely turn the tide.
Yes, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
God.
Hallelujah.
Brother, that dog will hunt.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
That's a good old Texan saying.